You're listening to an Aeon podcast.
Welcome to our final episode of the 7 Steps to Freedom from Anxiety, Depression and ADHD podcast series. In this series, we've been talking to Jodie Gozard, formerly Jodie Chapman, a respected Australian naturopath, speaker, author and mentor, about her experience with the 7 steps to finding freedom from anxiety, depression and ADHD. Now, mold is a common problem, no matter where in the world you are. It's rare to come across a person who hasn't experienced mold exposure in some way. As such, Jodie felt it important that we discuss mold, mold toxicity, how it comes about, its impacts on other illnesses and possible treatment options. Now, Jodie, this all came about because you recently discovered that you had unknowingly been exposed to black mold in close proximity and for an extended period of time. Tell us about that. How did you find out? And was it purely your body's reaction that made you aware?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting topic and it's something that affects so many people. However, I'd never had the experience or didn't think I'd had the experience previously. But I had an experience where I was doing some renovations and cleaning some moldy curtains and doing my best, or so I thought, to protect myself and keep myself safe from any harmful products that might be being released by, you know, that area. But I didn't do a very good job, apparently, and I found that about 2 weeks after I'd cleaned these curtains, I was in bed and could barely wake up. And from there, it developed into a lot of sinus pain, and I had a lot of inflammation within my sinuses all throughout my face and within my ears, the same as if you were stepping on an aeroplane and they pressurised the cabin very quickly, at that really sudden change or altitude change very, very quickly. But that was happening every day, and it became so severe, and nothing that I could do or knew to do about sinuses helped it. I didn't have mucus buildup. I didn't have congestion. I didn't have a sinus infection as such. So I realised, okay, this very likely is off the back of the curtain issue. What I did was I went and had a mold mycotoxin test done, and my levels came back with 5 of the most toxic substances at least 5 times the safe level.
Wow.
So I had not been exposed to just one, but multiple, which then had me thinking back for the last 7 or 8 years of experiences that I'd had with my health, where I'd gone up and down and up and down, because I have a history of autoimmune in my family and I've got the gene mutations that make me more susceptible to things. So I'd started to do a lot of research into this, and there was really no way of resolving these symptoms in any standard sense of the word, medically or naturally, unless I honed in on mold treatment, which is very different. So you've got 3 ways of being of mold possibly affecting you. So the first one is you could live in a building that you're breathing in the mycotoxins that are being released by the mold that's nearby. So the mycotoxins are very toxic chemicals that are released by a natural product that's been around for a really long time, and they used to use it in chemical warfare. So it's part of, you know, there's been so much research done back in the early 1900s showing where they've used mold toxicity or mold mycotoxins to harm the nervous system of people. When I had a look at, you know, how could this be affecting me? A, I've either just breathed in the mycotoxins and they're in my system, and I need to take substances that bind to the mycotoxins, and eventually over time they will dissipate and, you know, 4 to 6 months from now I won't have the problem again. B, I'm allergic to the mold and it's a mold allergy problem, and as soon as I remove myself from the moldy space, the symptoms will resolve, which is not what happened for me, which would have been the best outcome because then you can just remove the mold. Or C, I've breathed in actual mold spores, not just the mycotoxins, and they've lodged in the mucous membranes of my sinuses, or I've consumed mouldy food, which I may have experienced in the past, or a combination of both. So food that commonly has mould, a lot of grains, anything that's been grown underground like peanuts, and, you know, we know that peanuts are likely for that kind of thing, or mouldy cheeses, things like that. So it can affect you in a number of ways, but if it's in your gut or in your sinuses, then you've got a much bigger problem, because the mould is, the spores are there. And these spores, they release their mycotoxins constantly. So what you're then dealing with is a toxic substance being created within you. So then the only way around it is, while you have to take the products to bind to the mycotoxin and stop them from affecting you, you also need to be taking antifungals in some way, whether it's natural or medication, but you need to be killing off those mold spores. And this can go on for people for decades, which is monstrous. And to be perfectly honest, I've never seen worse symptoms in anyone except for this situation, because mycotoxins exacerbate every other problem you've got, not to mention it amplifies everything that's in the environment that you normally react to. So if you've got food allergies, all of a sudden they are much worse. What I've noticed with this, because now I'm noticing, if I'm not in a space that has mold, so a clean space, now my home has been, I love plants, and I've got about 17, well, I did have about 17 plants in my home, big indoor plants, and I notice sitting next to them, because mold grows in the soil from always being wet. So sitting next to them, it would feel like my head was vibrating. My cheeks would start to, the under my cheekbones would start to get very achy. My ears would feel like I had ear infections. I'd start to get this pressure. So I moved all of my pot plants outside. I had specialist people come to the apartment and test inside my air conditioning units in different areas, every room, on my books. I've absolutely love books, and I've got rooms full of them from, you know, 30 years of travelling around Queensland and having them stored in book boxes. And, you know, Queensland is so humid that, and paper absorbs mould. So I found that there were some of my books that had exposure to mould, that still had mould, were releasing mycotoxins. So, you know, your fabric in your lounge, all of these different places. I found that once I removed the pot plants, I still had the same symptoms sitting on the lounge, because the fabric had absorbed the mycotoxins that were being released nearby.
So what do you do?
Well, I was lucky where I stripped off my lounge. It was a brand new lounge. I stripped it off, and it happened to be one year where you could wash everything. I washed everything, and then I was okay again. But other people, it's been happening for so long, people with mold illness, which there's a few illnesses that are related to mold: CIRS, which is chronic inflammatory response syndrome, mast cell activation, which is a complete breakdown of your immune system reaction to everything. People with mast cell activation are just some of the sickest people you'll meet. Same with the chronic inflammatory response syndrome. These people have had to pick up and move to different countries, move to different states, live in completely different environments, try and find a dry place, because the pain for them is so severe. For me, my sinuses are a barometer, basically, for knowing where mold is. Where other people, they're not getting pain like this. They're getting symptoms of, they're feeling drunk, or like they're being affected by radioactive waves or frequencies or EMFs, and they're feeling it. And this is the interesting thing. The more I delve into this, the more I've learned. There was a study done with mold that was cultured, and it was covered so that they could count it was covered with something that was like a mosquito net, and so that they could count the mycotoxins that were being produced by this amount of mold that was being produced. And they did that, and then they exposed it to EMFs, just the electrical currents coming from the lighting nearby, the Wi-Fi nearby, the cell tower that was down the road. And they found that the mycotoxins, or the mold, responded to EMFs as if it was being attacked by it, and it increased the amount of mycotoxin it produced by over 600 times, and the type of mycotoxin it produced was so much more toxic and dangerous than the amount that it was producing before there was EMF exposure. So wow. you hear these people who can walk into a building and they say, I can't be near the Wi-Fi, I can't be near all of the electricity. And you think, you know, previously I'd met a couple of them and I'd mentioned it in one of the other podcasts is also carrying streptococcus in your gut because D-lactic acid is a nerve toxin and it affects your nervous system and amplifies everything. Mycotoxin does exactly the same, except in a different way, so you feel different. So before I really realised what it was, or I kind of realised what it was, but I didn't have the tools yet to be able to treat it. And it got so serious for me that I couldn't speak for more than 20 minutes without my words getting mixed up, losing words. My memory was so poor, I couldn't remember having conversations. It affected so much of my ability, my coordination. I play piano. I was much better prior to this experience. I then couldn't coordinate my left and right hand, and it didn't get better no matter how much I practiced. So I lost coordination. I would stand up and feel as though I was falling over. It felt as though I was drunk without being drunk, you know, losing all of my nervous system strength. Being able to pick up a pan and pot without having muscle weakness, thinking, why can't I hold the strength of this pot? And since, or the weight of this pot, and since experiencing all of these strange things, doing so much research on mold toxicity, these are all the really strange symptoms that people are experiencing that when they go and speak to people, people assume that they're making it up.
Mm.
And how can this possibly affect you? But yeah, it has a major effect on the nervous system. And, you know, the most bizarre symptoms, sharp pains that can be anywhere in the body, they move, they can be one place one day, different place another day, complete muscle weakness. So you can be completely strong one day and 3 months later you can have lost all muscle strength, and it's the mycotoxin buildup in the system affecting the nervous system. So you can lose muscle strength, the neurological effects on the brain. They say that there's a huge connection with schizophrenia or bipolar or autism, dementia, Alzheimer's. They've done organic acid testing, which picks up some of the derivatives of the mycotoxins, so the chemical substances that we can find in testing. So there's a number of different tests that we can do to identify. But one of the most interesting things is that about 25% of the population are those that feel it, and 75% of the population can be exposed to mold and they'll never know. They'll never feel it. So there's a certain gene.
So before you mentioned that there was various options, so breathing in the actual spores, when might that happen? When would we, was that when we'd be cleaning, for example?
Yeah, so one of the most obvious things to look for is water damage building. So, you know, this is what the illness is all about. There have been issues with people or cases with people who lived in a water damage building, say, 20 years before, and they're still suffering seriously with all of the symptoms. So in that case, you know that they either breathed in the mycotoxins and have never gotten rid of them, the mycotoxins themselves, or they breathed in the spores themselves and the spores are living within their body now. So yes, cleaning, not having proper PPE, protecting yourself from breathing in anything and making sure you do it really well. Mold is one of those things that you can almost not kill. It's so difficult. So cutting out walls, completely removing it by cutting it out and replacing walls in buildings. If it's not your building, getting away from it, moving out of it. The one thing I've learned about it all is that it's too serious for you to manage staying there another minute. So for me, it was quite urgent to clean out my entire... My place was pretty good, but still I found an amazing local mould specialist nearby who had a device who was able to come out and measure the different parts of my air quality. And so, you know, tell me which rooms are the worst and tell me what material items I had in my house was affected. Then I found another company who were air conditioning cleaners of mould specifically. So, you know, you've got to be really careful. It's not just standard air conditioning cleaning. They put up plastic sheeting and created a dam-like effect to make sure that they didn't contaminate the rest of the room when they cleaned it all out. Yeah, so if you have been exposed any time in the past, think back. I know when I had this exposure and I started to take the binding products, which is one of the things that you need to do to start soaking up the mycotoxin to reduce your symptoms initially, I thought back to when I'd been exposed to mold in the past. And back in 2011, in January, we had huge rains here. We had the dam issue in Brisbane and we had the floods all through Brisbane. I know a lot of people who've been exposed to mold from that event. You know, that's the whole of this region. And I at the time lived on a property that was within the rainforest, and everything inside my house turned moldy. All of my clothes, all of my shoes, my jackets, you know, my favorite things, they all turned moldy. And I spent a few months cleaning that. And I noticed at that time I had some issues with insomnia, which had gotten worse. But I didn't correlate it at the time. I thought it was just stress, something else attributed to moving and different other things happening. And, you know, you attribute it, changing the business. But at the same time, I'd moved my clinic into another building. So I'd moved from one building to another. And from that period of time, my insomnia got much, much worse. And I started to get symptoms of my gut issue, which is my family trait of ulcerative colitis. And I would wake in the middle of the night with gut pain. And at the time, the insomnia was so severe that I wasn't really functioning. My memory was so poor, and I thought it was because of the insomnia. But now that I have seen a sudden acute effect of what mold has done instantly to me, I realise that the building that I moved my business into at the time was an old Queenslander that was riddled with mold all through the garage and the bathroom, yet the rest of the place had been renovated by, the person who owned it, and I just leased it. And I had no idea really of the severity. That's where my health started to decline, and I was up and down with, you know, what's going on? Why am I getting gut flares? Is it the move? Is it stress? What else is happening? But I was taking some of the mold binders at the time, not knowing that they, you know, just for detoxing my liver, and I got better. So almost instantly my insomnia broke. I took those things for up to 2 years, felt amazing, was doing triathlons, was doing everything, you know, was so strong. And then through this exposure, realised that going back on these things, feeling better again, wow, was it mold the whole time?
And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find many people that have never been exposed to mold, especially.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I know in the house I grew up in, looking up in the shower, I can still see it. There was black mold on there. Mum did everything she could to get rid of it, but it was there.
Yeah.
And then the plant thing I hadn't even factored in, the soil. Yeah, and it's funny because every time we sit down, I feel like there's always a light bulb for me when we talk. Just yesterday, and there's no word of a lie, I was cleaning the house because we had a little play date after school time, and we have a peace lily that sits on the dining table. And I took it away. I hadn't wiped the plate for a while, so I wiped the plate and it was stunk. You know that.
Yeah.
That awful smell that a plant can get.
Yeah.
But I didn't think about it. And then yesterday morning, thankfully the girls wanted to play doctors. I had to lie down. I was so dizzy.
Oh, really?
And I couldn't, and I felt physically sick in my stomach, and I was dizzy for about maybe 20 to half an hour.
Yeah.
And I couldn't attribute it to anything. And now that we're talking about this, oh, I wonder if that's what it was.
Well, that's what I was feeling like when I sat on my lounge where the plant used to be. I would get like my head spinning, yet I'm sitting still, a type of dizziness. Really bizarre. So there are, you know, some of my patients who've been experiencing these things, they have lost strength in different parts of their body. They feel like they can, their head is vibrating. And that's one of the things that when you do a lot of research, they talk about that feeling of vibrating. And then they can get shaking, so it looks like Parkinson's. And Parkinson's also, they've correlated with it because the mold mycotoxin disrupts the dopamine pathway. It disrupts your hormonal pathway, so your endocrine system, so you can have hormonal imbalances. One of the mycotoxins that is released by one of the molds actually mimics estrogen. So it becomes an estrogen blocker then because it takes the place of estrogen, and then you get hormonal disruption from that perspective. Immune disruption, so it suppresses your immune system. It's just incredible. So nervous system, your brain, your immunity, your hormones, there is no part of your body that is not affected by mold if you are carrying it or if you've been exposed to it.
And it's such a hard one, isn't it? Because it feels like it's almost impossible to avoid it completely throughout life.
Mm.
So what does the mold mycotoxin test that you mentioned before, what does that entail? How do people...
Yeah, so that's a simple urine test. Yeah, so it's really quite easy to do. There's some amazing labs. The research is everywhere. And the more you learn about it, the more you realise how many amazing people are out there who are doing work on mold. You can learn so much about it, but you just need to be aware of it. You know, is this amplifying everything else that I'm experiencing? So it tends to probably be affecting people who are more likely to have health problems already, because it is a gene, that certain bright person who has that gene makeup for mold sensitivity. But in saying that, you know, it might be the first time ever that you've ever been unwell, and it might feel like just this chronic illness or chronic inflammatory problem going on, and you just had no idea why you just never got well again. Depression is a huge one. Behavioural changes, anxiety, anger, rage for no reason. It will do anything to do with your nervous system. So if you're having a chronic nervous system problem or immune problem or pain problem, inflammation problem, hormonal problem, and you just seem to can't get on top of it, you need to consider that mold might be to blame.
So for the people listening, and for me, I guess, now, that are going, okay, this sounds like me, what's step one? Where do we go from here?
First thing, you need to clean your house out of anything that could. You need to remove yourself from the environment. So it's either clean your house out or move house. So if it's built into the walls, and which it can be just from, you might have had a bathroom leak or something once. It might be under the tiles in your bathroom and you might not even know. So you have to find the source of it at home and remove that and reduce your exposure to the current mycotoxins that is in your environment. Mm. Second thing you need to do is take some binders, so binding products that hang on to the mycotoxins and stop them recirculating through your body. So things like bentonite clay, zeolite clay, activated charcoal, all of these natural substances, they will also soak up things like your minerals and vitamins and different healthy, you know, really important nutrients. So you must take them away from food, but they are essential to be able to soak up the mycotoxins. And as soon as you get them into your system, you'll find that you'll start to improve in your symptoms. However, you then have to determine, am I allergic to the mold and it's mold allergy, in which case it's just an IgE test. Am I, or maybe an IgG test as well, am I carrying mold spores in my mucous membranes, in which case if it's in your sinuses, you'll need something like a nasal spray that is antifungal that will over time hopefully kill it off. And if it's in your gut, you need antifungals. So whether that's constantly using, you know, for a while, antifungal herbs of different kinds, or speaking to a trained doctor in this area, depending on your exposure and how it's played out in your body, what illnesses you developed, how severe it is, how chronic it is, what other factors you've already got going on, because it seems to be that if you've got other health issues, they might need to be addressed at the same time. Certainly you need to have the mold being addressed immediately, but you may have to really tailor that treatment to whatever you're experiencing, you know, already. So yeah, it's a multiple pronged attack on dealing with the mold, and certainly the first step is removing it from your environment. I can't, I guess, say enough how important this is as something that you need to rule out as part of what could be affecting your health long term.
Okay, Jodie, and what about as far as foods go? short of finding mold on your cheese that didn't have mold on it when you put it in the fridge, things like blue cheese that has mold, and even the camembert or the brie that have that white, that's a form of mold too, isn't it?
It is. And yeah, it's a really, I personally am avoiding them now. Yeah, so anything that you're consuming that has mold in it is going to affect you if you're susceptible. They say a lot of grains, corn grains especially, corn-based grains especially, but anything that's been stored for quite some time before it's made it to your table. So cereals, so in box cereals. Also, they say coffee is one of your worst sources of mold. Yeah, so that's that's quite a big one in when you start looking into it. Now, I'm not a coffee drinker, so when they say that, I don't have a meltdown where other people...
I nearly fell off my chair.
And they talk about even animals, your pets, dog food. So those big bags of dog food that can grow mold in them, you know, during storage when they've been in a moist area or in a dark factory somewhere. Have a look at what your pets are experiencing as well, because I know my little poodle that I've had since we were in that property where the rains hit the rainforest, he's had a lot of skin issues since, and skin issues is another one. And yeah, just have a look at your whole family. You know, I think about my kids as well, and I think about the struggles that they've had with different health issues with their immunity and with their strength or with their hormone development over their years. And now I'm thinking, okay, I really think that mold testing is probably a very important thing for us, given we lived in that house during that time. And I do see symptoms of mold in my kids as well.
It's interesting that you say skin issues are one as well. I remember when I was pregnant with our youngest, and we had black mold all through our caravan that we were about to sell. And obviously my husband wouldn't let me clean it, so he cleaned it. And I might have to get him to come and see you and have these tests.
Well, it's worth doing the tests. They're kind of mid-range in expense compared to a lot of tests. So, you know, it's something worth doing, I believe, though, if you're not getting resolution with your other treatments.
Yeah.
Knowing that will change how you treat everything else. And how you treat it is important, because if you're treating it the wrong way, you can make the situation worse. So it is really important. And there are some amazing specialists around the world who are training people in how to treat people for mold properly. So it's really essential that you get someone who knows how to deal with mold to look after you, because it's not something that everybody knows how to do. It's, you know, quite in depth.
Well, Jodie, you've given us a lot to think about as usual. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
This has been our 13th and final episode of the 7 Steps to Freedom from Anxiety, Depression and ADHD podcast series. If you've missed out on any of our previous episodes, I encourage you to go back and have a listen, as Jodie's mind is a wealth of knowledge and her insight is so, so valuable. If while listening you've heard something that's piqued your interest and have an urge to reach out to Jodie, you can contact her via the clinic at advancewellness.com.au. And finally, if you're experiencing a personal crisis or are having dark thoughts, please reach out to one of the many services available, such as Lifeline. Lifeline's phone number is 131114.